What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yeah, we got a good one today for you guys. I want to make sure I'm not breathing in this mic. We got a fun one. And I don't have anything. I mean, people know we coach. So
yeah, I do want to make a comment real
quick. Go ahead.
Going off of a couple episodes ago where we talked about convictions and just attacking people online when they don't have the same personal conviction as you. In the cases of it not being like biblically written, right? I just wanted to remind people that the people on the internet are human. Like, I just want everyone to be aware that they have feelings and that it's not okay for you to be mean to them in their comments or make videos about people, shunning them and tearing them down, because that's not what Jesus ever wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tells us to pull a brother or sister aside and correct them, he means in your circle. That person's not in your circle. Like, you don't know anything about them. You're witnessing a highlight reel of their life. You're seeing things surface level. You're not seeing their personal relationship with Jesus and their walk. And it really bothers me that people claiming to be Christians are making videos and commenting on other Christians' stuff. Like, that's not your job. If there's someone that is preaching something that goes against the word of God, that's a different story. If they're saying that something in the Bible is incorrect and that they don't believe in it, for example, I saw a video a while ago of a girl saying that if Jesus was here right now, that he wouldn't feel a certain way about things. You're changing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's incorrect. But to quote unquote, try to call people out based on something that you saw a 30-second clip of and you know nothing about that person, non-believers are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes Christianity attractive if that's the kind of human nature that you have, even though you claim to have the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So sorry if that was harsh. I just want to get that out there because Asher and I both deal with it. Right now, he's dealing with it a lot more. And it's hurtful to see your husband get hate when you are personally witnessing the relationship he has with Jesus and how strong he feels about what he's doing on behalf of Jesus. Like, he's doing this to honor God, not to honor himself. And I'm sick and tired of people trying to claim that he doesn't know what he's talking about or that he doesn't have a personal relationship with God and people shouldn't watch his videos and that what he's doing is a sin. You don't know him. You're seeing a highlight reel, surface level content that he's posting. As his wife, it is hurtful to see. So sorry, I'm getting emotional now. I just want to get that out there.
Podcast rant. All right, we're done, guys. Thanks, honey.
What?
No, that was great, honey. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, it's really upsetting to see, you know?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's,
yeah,
when you personally know the person and you see all of this stuff and like you hear comments and watch videos and whatever it is, it's like you don't actually know them.
You know, honey, that's something I've been praying about a lot recently as I've been praying to God and say, you know, God, I'm getting all this hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting all these people say whatever they want. Can you just send me some people in my life to reassure that what I'm doing is good. Honey, the past like couple days, I've gotten so many messages from really close friends. JB being one of them sent me this huge paragraph this morning. It was amazing to see.
Yeah.
Shout out. I know he's watching. But anywho, we got a fun one today. Three questions that you need to have answers to as Christians. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot more, but I believe these three are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I say these three are the most important. It's because when I get asked these three questions, majority of the time, their heart posture is them being curious.
Yeah.
That's why I think these three questions are important.
They're not like stumpable questions.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're things that people genuinely want to know.
Yeah.
Why are you following Jesus? What about these things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, I just want to shout out a book that really helped me. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I talk mm-hmm. about this book so often. Shout out Frank Turek. I believe that he is one of the best teachers when it comes to the apologetic realm. So if you want to go get that book, it's on sale everywhere. Like, I don't think you can actually buy it full price anywhere because it's so cheap. But yes, that book very much helped me out. I've been able to defend my faith very well because of this book. But anyway, let's dive into the three questions. One, if God is so loving, why is there so much evil in the world? Two, there are so many religions in the world. Why is Jesus the correct one? And three, why should we even believe in the New Testament to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So also, this is going to be very surface level. We can mm-hmm. go really deep into these topics. But again, Michelle and I like to keep these episodes 30 minutes. So this is a very base level. That's why I recommend the book. If y'all want to care more about this stuff and y'all want to go more in detail, you're a nerd like me, go buy the book. Watch Frank Turek's videos. He also has a TV show on crossexamine.org. I watch him every day. You can ask my wife. Literally watching one right before.
Yeah, literally all the time. Yeah. I think these are really, really good questions. I'm glad that you picked these because, like you said, they're just like simple.
Yeah.
Simple questions that people ask.
Simple, but, and they're also easy to understand, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
All right. So let's dive into it. If God is so loving, why is there evil in the world? You want me to start, honey, or would you like to start?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay. So when someone asks you this question, I always like to start off by saying, well, have you ever done evil in this world? Yes mm-hmm. or no? And you don't have to convince someone that they have done evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they say no, they just did it right there because they lied.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't have to sit back and say that lying is good.
Right.
Everyone knows that lying is bad. Now, sometimes there can be benefits of lying for a selfish gain, mm-hmm. but majority of people will say lying's bad. So if they say, I've never done evil, bam, there you go.
Yeah. And by evil, we're not talking about like robbing a bank injuring someone seriously. Like, we're talking about like
literally level stuff.
Anything.
Like, for example, stealing a paperclip from work.
Yeah.
Boom, that's evil. You may not think it is because there's mm-hmm. not consequences because a paperclip's what, a cent?
Yeah.
Still evil.
Yeah.
You know? All right. So if someone asks you, you know, if God's so loving, why is there evil? Why doesn't he remove all the evil?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question you need to ask them. Mm-hmm. Well, have you done evil? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when they say yes, ask them, okay, so why doesn't he remove you then?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just admitted you've done evil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go or do you still want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they're going to be like, oh, shoot, I didn't look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when most people get curious because it's easy for us to point out the evil in other people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
For example, murders. For mm-hmm. example, Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't God stop Hitler? Well, I don't know why God didn't stop Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is if God were to intervene every time there is evil, guess what? You and I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, because you can't do like a pyramid of like what's worse and what's like what's not so bad.
Exactly.
Like that's all gonna like, well, God's gonna look at everything on judgment day, right? Everything's gonna be mm-hmm. evaluated. But you can't take out something that's really, really bad and then ignore something that might be minuscule compared to that thing.
Because exactly.
We're not comparing here. We're talking about evil as a category in itself.
Like, exactly.
As a whole, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then here's another thing on that point is we can actually pinpoint in the Old Testament when God did remove evil.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these people that have a problem with why doesn't God remove evil, they have a problem with how God removed evil in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can ask them the question, okay, well then if you were God and you have a problem with how he did in the Old Testament and mm-hmm. you think he should remove all evil right now, mm-hmm. how would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to hear an answer that is like intelligent.
Yeah. I just got hit with something.
Go for
it, honey.
So
obviously the first thing I thought of was a flood,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And if you say, do you agree with the flood? And they're like, no, I think that was horrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well then what evil are you trying to get rid of? Because usually it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm someone that has unfortunately been a victim of some sort of assault, okay, I'm going to say, well, this, like
yeah.
this person that did this to me shouldn't be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so you expect God to step in and intervene for you even though you don't believe in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you don't want him to intervene every time you do evil.
Correct. You want to be the outlier here.
Yeah, so that's another thing is it's like it's the question is selfish.
Yeah, it is.
When
it
you
is.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So here's another thing I like to go into is I said, okay, well, if you want God to remove all evil, here's your two options. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your free will or you can become a robot.
Yeah.
Do you love God's free will that he's given to us?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather be a robot? All of them, 100% of them will say, well, I would rather have free will. Okay. Then you answer the question. God's not going to remove all evil.
Exactly.
Because if he did, he would start with you.
Yeah. And you're going to get rid of that free will and that free choice.
Yeah.
To follow him and to be able to do what we want to do.
Yeah. So here's another thing I want to say is because a lot of Christians have heard this argument and say, oh, well, God doesn't remove all evil because of free will. Guys, you can't give that answer.
Yeah.
The person who asked that question, they don't even know what free will is.
Yeah.
Seriously. You need to go into a little bit more detail. That's why we're making this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So also last point on this question is... if God were to have made all robots
mm-hmm.
and us not be free thinking agents and creatures, we would have no way of choosing to love him. And all God wants is a relationship with his children.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, those of y'all that are in a relationship, married, or maybe you're looking for a relationship, do you want your wife or husband to love you robotically? Or would you rather them choose to love you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I am very, very thankful that my wife doesn't love me robotically. What would you like for breakfast? Like, I'm glad that was cringy, yeah. whatever.
That was really cringy.
But you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now I'm embarrassed.
I'm just glad that you're self-aware.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead and roast me more. Yeah, see, the thing is, a robot wouldn't do this. We turn on our Roomba and guess what? They do exactly as we say.
No, he doesn't. He drives me crazy.
Okay, yeah.
That was a bad example.
That was a bad example.
Fine. If anyone has the automatic, not the one that maps out your house, just
yeah.
the free roaming
yeah.
one, he's
fine.
Crazy.
Fine. When we go on our computer and we type in Google Chrome, it goes to it. Does
Correct.
Exactly as we say.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It doesn't have a say-so.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. it does exactly as it's programmed.
Yeah. yeah. And I do want to make this point too, because we're talking about like evil as a whole, but I think a lot of people also talk about like, why do bad things happen? Like period, not necessarily like they categorize it as evil. But I remember my dad made this comment one time and said, like, it's hard to have faith and believe when you see a 3-year-old child with cancer.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we don't know what led them to have that.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of like any type of medical issue has to do with what you're consuming.
Yeah.
Or what your parent consumed if you're really young.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all, that's another free will thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have the decision to take care of our bodies the way that we want to.
Yeah.
Right? He's gifted us that ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there might be some cases where it doesn't have to do with like what you're consuming, and it could be have to do with like a chemical maybe that you came in contact with. We don't know.
Yeah.
But again, that's intervening with free will.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So next question. There are so many religions in the world. Why choose Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? Why not choose something else? Go ahead, honey.
There's so many religions. But So obviously the most basic answer is taking it back to Jesus saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can only get to the Father through him. Mm-hmm. So if we back up a little bit, do you believe that you were created by something, or do you believe that there was an explosion? That's first the question that you need to ask yourself. Because if you believe in happenstance, then we're not talking to you.
Yeah.
We're talking to the people that actually believe that there was a creator in the beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just a side note. If you're a woman and you've ever been pregnant and you still to this day believe that this earth was created by happenstance, I pray for you, because I was talking to Asher, was it yesterday morning? I was reading my app about pregnancy and just the science that literally goes behind how a baby is formed and how a baby prepares to come out is not by an explosion. Like, there is absolutely no way.
Yeah, science is explaining how we're having the baby, but it doesn't explain the purpose on why the baby's actually being born.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So if you believe in a creator, then your next question is, okay, well, who is the creator?
Yeah.
Right? Because most religions believe that there is a God, mm-hmm. right? You might call him Allah. You might call him God, whatever. There is a being, okay? We're talking about the capital G here. We're talking about the God, okay? We're not talking about Allah.
We're not talking about double G Snoop Dogg neither.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or what's that, Charlemagne? I was talking to you about that the other day.
Sure.
People giving themselves the name of a God. Anyways, back on point. If you believe in a higher power, then you need to figure out which one is correct, right? So Jesus claiming to be the way, the truth, and the life, and being the only way to the Father, why would you believe him, right? I'm not going to believe someone that is schizophrenic and running around doing crazy stuff, and he comes to me and says, you can only get to God through me, okay? Which is, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then that's what you believe. You believe that he was schizophrenic and he was crazy. He's not a good prophet. He's either the Son of God or a crazy person.
Yeah.
There's no in between here.
Yeah, he's either the revelation of God in human form, or he was literally insane.
Yes.
Because name me one other good teacher in the whole history of ever that claimed to be God. You can't name one.
Mm-hmm.
No other teacher did it.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The teachers who claimed to be God and didn't pull it off weren't in that realm of good teachers.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And also the people who do claim to be God, they're down the hospital.
Yeah.
In the schizophrenia area.
Yeah.
Because they haven't pulled off them being God.
Yeah.
They claim to it, and there's something wrong with them mentally. Jesus actually pulled this off about him
being
God.
Yeah, so what did he pull off? So that's what I want to talk about, is the proof behind that and why we believe that he actually did die on the cross and resurrect 3 days later.
Yeah. Quick interruption before we get back to the show. Guys, we just want to let you know that our coaching services are live. So if you've been struggling with your fitness journey and you are looking to get in shape, or maybe just struggle in that area, we are there to help you.
We offer personalized workout plans through a private app, constant communication with us, and also a personalized nutrition plan with recipes. There are over 1,000 to choose from on there. So if you have been struggling and want our help, please reach out to us or visit the website, which is betterthanbeforebrand.com, to see some testimonials and also fill out an application so that we can reach out to you and schedule a call.
Thank you, guys, and let's get back to the show. So the evidence of the death, burial, and resurrection. First off, let's just point out that not only did Jesus perform many miracles, but he predicted the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulled it off.
And the entire Old Testament was about him.
Yeah. So hold on a second. You're telling me there's this man that came down from heaven. He's God in human form. He did a lot of miracles. And then he predicted his death, was resurrected, pulled it off, and we still haven't found his body. Guys, why would you want to believe anything else?
Yeah.
Who cares about other religions?
Yeah.
If there's evidence to back that up, I'm sorry. I have my own personal facts. Mm-hmm. If someone claimed to be God and actually pulled it off and resurrected from the dead and there's mm-hmm. evidence behind that, I'm sorry. I'm going to put my faith in that.
Yeah.
I don't think I need anything else.
Yeah.
You can say that's intellectually dishonest. Sure. I mean, I've taken a look at other claims of other religions, mm-hmm. Judaism, Islam, Hinduism. The evidence that I have read doesn't really support that. There's way more evidence for Christianity, which dives us into our next topic and our last question is, why should we even believe in the New Testament? Because the New Testament, that's what makes Christianity true. Because here is a fact. The New Testament writers did not invent the resurrection. The resurrection invented the New Testament writers. Mm-hmm. So the New Testament's credibility mm-hmm. is solely based on if the resurrection actually happened, mm-hmm. what's the evidence behind it?
Yeah.
That's what it's based on.
Yeah.
Some people may say it's heresy, but guess what, guys? The New Testament that was given to us is the biggest blessing ever. Mm-hmm. Because if the resurrection happened and Jesus pulled it off, mm-hmm. Christianity would still be true even if the New Testament was never written. Mm-hmm. So the New Testament writers giving us this blessing is huge for us because yeah. we're able to learn about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so first I want to start with that. So next I want to start with why even believe in the New Testament writers to begin with. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey.
The first point I want to make is because a lot of people are like, oh, well, religions, like people in other religions die for their religion every day, because that's like the biggest argument is like, right, the Old Testament writers died for what they claim to have seen. Other religions die for what they believe in.
Yeah.
They've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. Never seen it.
Never seen it. No. Like people nowadays are killing people and willing to die for things that they're following years later. Mm-hmm. We're basing ours off of people who have literally died for it after witnessing it.
After witnessing it.
And you always like to use the example of the Titanic. And I really like this because none of us were there mm-hmm. when it happened. But they have an entire movie about it. I think they have a book about it. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, they have tons of books about it.
Or like people have written their stories about like being a part of it, right?
Yeah.
And we believe it, even though we weren't there. Mm-hmm. Okay. We believe, what's her name? Rose. Rose's story about, what's his name?
Who?
The two main characters.
In the Titanic?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen the movie.
The guy. Okay. The man, sorry, everyone yeah. that's a Titanic fan. But the man that dies on the, there's... You've never seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I've never seen the movie.
I'm like baffled no. right now. You don't even know what it's about.
No, not really.
Okay.
I know the scene.
Yeah, okay. Well, the door.
I'm on top of the world.
You yeah. know, well, you know the door at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Spoiler alert, if you've never seen the movie,
yeah,
I'm about to tell you what happens. But yeah, there's like a wooden door
okay.
or something, plank okay. in the water. And Rose, and then I forget what the guy's name is, the two main characters.
Sure.
He let her lay on top of it so she could survive because the water was so cold. Mm. And he just held on to it. And eventually he died.
Died, yeah.
Okay, and he sank.
Okay.
And then they rescued her. I think either she's barely still alive or she recently just died. I forget. She lived for a really long time.
Okay.
Okay, so she tells her story at the end of the movie. Mm. Like they actually show a clip of her telling her story. One woman in the water explains to us that this man got on this door or put her on the door and he sank and died. And we all believe it. There was no one else there. It was them two in the water. But yet people have such a hard time believing that the two women at the entrance of the burial saw it empty. Mm-hmm. Like we won't believe that, but we'll believe the Titanic and one single woman telling a story about how this, you don't know what happened. She could have pushed him in the water.
She could have.
I'm not hating on the Titanic.
Sure.
I'm not saying she's false. I'm just yeah. using it as an example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really good, honey. So, actually I want to read the definition of eyewitness testimony because people are like, well, eyewitness testimonies can always be flawed. Here's the thing about eyewitness testimonies, guys. If it's accurate, then it is very, very reliable. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give y'all...
They use them in court every day.
That's what I was about to read. Y'all do realize that eyewitness testimonies are the number one thing to convict someone in court. Mm-hmm. So if you say eyewitness testimonies are false, hey, guess what? Bring that up to the U.S. judicial court system. Mm-hmm. Also, you can learn more about this in this book called Cold Case Christianity. Mm-hmm. This guy was a full-blown atheist. He was a homicidal detective, ended up dropping that and using his homicidal detective skills to actually prove the resurrection to be very reliable. That's a whole nother conversation. That's a really good book. Y'all should read it. But anywho, here, I'm going to read the definition for eyewitness testimonies. It is a person's account of an event that they witnessed, such as a crime that's presented in court. It's a key part of the criminal justice system, but its reliability, here we go, but its reliability is being re-evaluated due to research. So what I mean by that is eyewitness testimonies are only reliable if they're accurate. Mm-hmm. All right. So I know a lot of people like to say, well, in this gospel, it says this. And in this gospel, it says this. So it's not accurate. Okay, hold on. Wait 1 second. Let me stop you right there. This girl gets her purse robbed down the street. Mm-hmm. You see it in plain sight. Mm-hmm. There are three people there. You're at the stop sign. This other woman's down the corner, and this other guy is watering his grass. All three of y'all see it. All right? You're in shock. You're with your wife, walking your dog, whatever. You're in shock. And the cops finally get there, and they say, what was the robber wearing? And you say, I'm not sure. He was wearing, I think, a black hat and a black t-shirt and I think white jeans. I'm not really sure. Okay, thanks. Guy goes to the next person and says, I think he was wearing a black hat, you know, black jeans, white shirt, whatever. The next guy says something else, red shirt, whatever. Okay, so are you going to say that that girl didn't get robbed? Yes or no? No, she doesn't have her purse. Mm-hmm. It's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So you saying that they say this in this gospel and this in this gospel, that makes it false. No, it doesn't, people. What can all the gospels agree on? That Jesus Christ rose from the dead and was shown to 500 people. Mm-hmm. That's what all the gospels can agree on. And also, we can make another point about the Titanic. Go read this for yourself. Go look at all the articles from the Titanic. Guess what? None of them agree on how many people died. Mm-hmm. You can go read it for yourself. Go on Google and type in newspaper articles from the Titanic happening. You're going to get anywhere from 1,900 to 1,300 people dying. Guess what? That doesn't make the Titanic false. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? The Titanic actually sank. There were eyewitness testimonies to testify that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So just because there are different things in different gospels, that doesn't make it false. Mm-hmm. Okay? Everyone has a different eyewitness, like I just gave y'all some examples. You can spin this however which way you want to do it. But that is a very good way to see that these sources are actually reliable. Okay, that's number one. Point number two is I would love for y'all to go read the book of Acts because these people had nothing to gain. You guys can read this in the book Cold Case Christianity. A big reason how this guy cracked the case, I think his name is, y'all may know, I think his name is Dr. J. Warner. I think the guy who wrote the book, I actually forgot. But he says, it's easier to solve crimes than you think. The three motivators for people are money, sex, and power. Once you get to those three things, it's easy to crack the case. Guess what, guys? None of these apostles and disciples who claim to see that Jesus rose from the dead gain none of that. Mm-hmm. They didn't get more women. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten. And guess what? They were probably fired from their jobs and had no money. Mm-hmm. So to say that these guys gained any of those things is a complete lie and very intellectually dishonest because you can read about this. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's another way we can see that this is actually reliable. Mm-hmm. All right. These guys literally died for what they claim to have seen while gaining nothing except eternal life. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a lot of faith mm-hmm. in that because mm-hmm. these guys, I mean, you guys can read about the ways they died. Mm-hmm. It is not cool. Mm-hmm. And all because of what they claim to have seen. These Roman soldiers, honey, they said, dude, just don't believe that Jesus is God and we'll stop whipping you. You know, don't say Jesus is God and we're not going to take your kids away.
Yeah.
Say Jesus isn't God and we won't throw you in jail. Uh-huh. And they said, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
They would rather die for what they claim to have seen because they know that their treasures are in heaven.
Yeah. So obviously the New Testament writers are a great example, but you can also use the example of personal testimony that we have nowadays, because I feel like a lot of people will question us and say, mm-hmm. like, why do you have so much faith in this? Because you didn't live back in the day and you don't know 100% facts that this is right.
Yeah.
But there was a story about a guy who gave his life to Jesus, received the Holy Spirit. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you know for a fact that what you just put your faith in is true.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Personally, like, once you've experienced
that,
you gain
a lot of confidence.
You sure do. And this guy had confidence in it. He lived in another country, and they basically came to him and said, you have to stop practicing this or else you're going to lose your life. For the time being, they put him in jail because they wanted him to go on trial. And they were literally like, you need to worship the leader of this country, not God. Like, that's all you have to say, is you just have to tell us that you're going to respect him and follow him. And he didn't do it. Eventually, he actually got out. Praise the Lord. Mm. He was protected. But that happens all the time in other countries right now. Like, we're thankful that we live in America. Yeah. If you're not from America, I'm just saying, like, us as Americans are grateful that we have freedom to practice Christianity and go to church and, you know, do all of that. But I think that's another question that people get, is like, why do you have so much faith? I don't understand. Because you can back all of these simple apologetic questions up, but another powerful thing is our personal testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, honey. I mean, you can even go read stories about the booming of Christianity in the Middle East right now.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, last year there was like 70,000 mosques
mm-hmm.
that got shut down.
Yeah.
And now they're practicing Christians because they literally saw the revelation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus just overwhelmed them with peace. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but atheism, they've never had a spike like that. Islam has never had a spike like that. Mm-hmm. Neither has Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be true about this.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity, when Jesus was resurrected, it was the fastest growing religion to ever exist in the history of ever.
Mm-hmm.
People like to back it up and say, that's not true. Islam is actually a fast growing religion. No. The culture that they have in the Middle East and Muslim tradition, it is literally a woman's job to only have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So these families will have 7-8 kids.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make them, well, I guess maybe in their tradition, it makes them Muslim.
Their beliefs, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's the fast growing religion. Y'all are just having more kids.
Yeah.
All right. You can spin it however you want, but I mean, there are people in the Middle East that are 56 years old giving their life to Christ in a predominantly Muslim culture.
Mm-hmm.
That has to say a little bit of something.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done talking.
Yeah. I just want to make a point, because I think it's important that as Christians we're able to defend our faith, because especially nowadays you're going to get questioned.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have people come against you. So this is just simple 3 questions that we gave you, but there's so many resources that you can, books you can read, things online. Just type in apologetics. I was really scared early on in my walk to share my faith because I was nervous that people were going to question me. It wasn't that I was embarrassed. It was just, I want to be able to have an answer.
Yeah.
And apologetics is where you get that help, and it'll actually increase your faith. At least it did for me.
Don't be nervous because you're like, I may lose faith. No. You're going to gain faith doing this.
Yeah, no.
And also, you having answers to the questions people have. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to give glory to yourself.
Yeah.
You want these people to be saved.
Yeah. I was that person that used to say that I can just feel it. Like if someone would ask me why I believe it, I would say I can feel it, because that is a big part of my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Fake following it for so long and then fully giving your life to Jesus. It's like, wow, that 180 difference. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I would always tell people. But it's like, that goes based off of emotion, and people don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go based off of, like, quote unquote science and, like, you know, just basic history of knowing why you believe what you believe. So just some questions and answers to get you guys started. Yeah. But definitely look into it because it'll help you out in your walk a lot.
Yeah. Hope y'all enjoyed, and we will catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.